Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to episode 1721 of Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who is willing to roll up your sleeves, fight for Americanism, our heritage, and our values that we cherish, which are under attack. Are they not? What an interesting time to be alive, and what an interesting time to be living in America. Well, yesterday our show went really well, and that aired live from 9 to 9:30, just like every Saturday. But apparently there was a glitch. It is uploaded there now. If you've been looking for that, that was uploaded, and it dropped out of queue for some reason. That should have been posted and available for you guys right at 9:30 when the show ended yesterday, Saturday. So it is there for your listening pleasure, downloading, and sharing. Thank you, by the way, for sharing Radio Free Redoubt with other like-minded patriots. This is the place for right-wing mainstreamists. I know it doesn't seem like you're in the mainstream anymore, because what was normal and what was mainstream now seems to be extreme. If you have conservative values, if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, that's extreme. If you believe that citizens should be able to have the right to defend themselves, that's extreme. If you wish to maintain the Constitution and believe that it should not be subjugated by or to foreign laws like Sharia law, well, that's extreme, but it's not true. Actually, it is still mainstream. Conservative values are mainstream. But they would have you believe that you're on the fringe if you believe in conventional or conservative fundamental American ideals. But that's okay. You are in the right place, and you are not outnumbered. They have control of the media, so they're really good at making you feel like you're alone and you're the only one that feels that way, but it's not true, as you all know. All right, I've got a ton of stuff that I want to get through. Some of it I wanted to cover last week. I had to hold over. By the way, Studio A is torn up right now. I got the carpeting ripped out, got some holes in the walls, and I'm doing some remodeling here since I was forced into the situation because of the flooding from a storm that leaked into our deep bunker way underground somewhere in the Rocky Mountains inside the heart of the American Redoubt. Got some water damage, and so I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity and do some work. I'm going to I opened up the wall. I'm going to set my comms, my disaster communications go box, so that the face of it is flush with the wall, because it's taken over about 4 square feet almost of room on my bench. So I'm going to free that up. So it's going to be a little slow going, but we are functional, we're operational, we're on the air, as you know. Let's get into the news and commentary, which is sponsored by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the partial political, social, and economic collapse in America, and the best part, the rebuilding afterward. And that's very consistent with our mindset here. We're not doomsdayers. We are looking at a potential reset someday in our maybe not too distant future to give us the opportunity to reinstate the America that we love dearly in our hearts And even if only regionally, we can do this in various different conservative pockets across the country. But this is a great book series. All 10 books out, including the audio. Now, international news. Wall Street Journal had an article stating that North Korea dreams of turning out the lights. Pyongyang doesn't need a perfect missile, which everybody's been mocking them for not being able to keep missiles in the air. But detonating a nuke above Seoul or Los Angeles would sow chaos. And they're talking about just inaccurately flung nuclear warhead over the United States to produce an EMP, or possibly even the satellites that they have up there could do the same thing. Pretty interesting article. It's something that we should keep in front of us. It's very interesting. Okay. In Canada, international news, I had to read this twice. Now I need to read it again. I can't believe this. Ontario passes a totalitarian bill allowing the government to take kids from Christian homes. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. Ontario's Kathleen Wynne Liberals have passed what critics described as a totalitarian bill by a vote of 63 to 23. Pro-family advocates warn that Bill 89 gives the state more power to seize children from families that oppose LGBTQI. What? Now there's an I? LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and what's I? Indecisive? I'm not sure. And gender ideology agenda allows government agencies to effectively ban couples who disagree with that agenda from fostering or adopting children. Wow. So a few years ago, it was just homosexuals were trying to gain the right to also adopt children. And they finally won that in several places. And now it's gone the other way, where if you are a Christian couple, then you can't, if you hold to traditional biblical teachings and are opposed to LGBTQI, you can't adopt or be a foster parent. In Canada, it adds gender identity and gender expression as factors to be considered in the best interest of the child. I can see the questionnaire now. If your child at 5 years old decides that she wants to be a boy, how would you respond? Well, they're going to be paying very close attention to your response. So the Minister of Parliament who introduced the bill said he sees questioning teenagers' self-identification as LGBTQI or telling them to change is abuse. Quote, I would consider that a form of abuse when a child identifies one way and a caregiver is saying, no, you need to do this differently. If it's abuse and if it's within the definition, a child can be removed from that environment and placed into protection where the abuse stops. It is abuse. Now, if even counseling them away from that destructive, perverted lifestyle or confused or whatever you want to call it, and now it's abuse, all the child has to do is go and complain. They'll yank you out of there. Well, you won't have to hear any of that biblical stuff. Over in China, they have a different problem. Christian church was destroyed as Chinese police drag worshipers into the street and beat them. Chinese police destroyed a church after dragging worshipers out of the building, beating them in the street. This is from The Express out of UK. So when's that going to happen in Ontario? When's that going to happen in the United States where if you are a Christian, a parent, and you try counseling your LGBTQI teenager and try to steer them toward scriptural values, the police are going to come and drag you out of the street and beat you? In China, the church has undergone a great deal of persecution. Remember them in your prayers and support ministries like Voice of the Martyrs. They do a great deal. Mrs. Schmidt and I sent off our tithing, part of our payment to our tithing payment we put toward that is just a ministry that we strongly believe in supporting. And they're worthy of our support and our prayers. There's a lot of costs involved. They're very responsible with the money. We just strong believers in them, with them, and supporters. National news. This was from Todd Starnes. He always does a great job. But there's a small town, Neosho, Missouri, who in 1930 installed a 60-foot lighted cross in the Big Spring Park. So for 87 years, it sat there. Nobody's complained until last May, when the town received a letter from an out-of-town group of atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers demanding that the cross be removed from public property. They said the government's display of a Latin cross on public land is unconstitutional. Freedom from Religion Foundation attorney Rebecca Markert wrote in a letter to the town's mayor. They're saying that the display of this patently religious symbol on public property confers government endorsement of Christianity. Oh, what a shame! A blatant violation of the Establishment Clause. Okay, this lawyer needs to be tuned up and educated on the Constitution. The First Amendment clearly states that Congress shall establish no religion nor prohibit religion. Congress may not establish a religion. That's all it says. So a city government maintaining a cross that was put there 85 years ago with the desire and the will of the community behind it. And of course, the community, the city council is made up of members of the community. Well, they're saying, you can stick it. We are not moving that cross. We're not taking it down. They voted unanimously. And the mayor said that cross is not going to go anywhere. He said, we're taking a stand. It's the best thing to do, and it's the right thing to do. So there, most of these small towns, which are the primary target of these God haters, they threaten with lawsuits, and these small towns and communities just fold. Oh, we can't afford a lawsuit. We'll just go ahead and remove it. I wonder what God's going to say one day when they're standing before him. Oh, it was too big for us to deal with. It's too much money. We couldn't handle a lawsuit. Wow. Who's bigger? And so what if it did destroy you financially? Is that it? Have you sold out? Are you a prostitute? So they're saying it's offensive and must be removed. And the city's saying, nope, it's been there since 1930, and it's a historical part of our town and our heritage. So there. It's not going anywhere. Mad World News had a great article. When Muslims noticed a billboard calling their prophet Muhammad a rapist who married a six-year-old and beheaded Jews, they immediately demanded the removal of the racist and Islamophobic message. But it's interesting how this is written. The billboard didn't call their prophet Muhammad anything. The billboard didn't name anyone. It just said, you're going to follow somebody who, let me read it. This is what the billboard says. The perfect man married a six-year-old, beheaded 600 Jews in one day, slave owner and dealer, 13 wives, 11 at one time, rapist, tortured and killed unbelievers. Educate truthophobes. That's all it says. Doesn't say anything about Muhammad, but isn't it interesting that the Muslims knew exactly who this was talking about? Well, guess what? They're saying you must remove it, this Islamophobic billboard. And he says, you know what? You prove to me that anything that is on that billboard is false, and I'll take it down. Interesting. So he's digging his feet in. He's saying, I'm not going to take it down until you prove to me that anything on there is wrong. He said, I never even said Muhammad. But they knew. Didn't they? Interesting. That description fits. They know exactly who that description fits. Well, Moving on here. Rallies against Islamic law draw counter protests across the U.S. Why is the news reporting this? I mean, you know, this is from a Fox News. Rallies, this is the headlines. Rallies against Islamic law draw counter protests across the U.S. If I were writing this headline, it would simply say, Americans against Islamic law stand united for the Constitution. How's that? No, rallies against Islamic law draw counter protests across the U.S. So the emphasis is on the counter protests. The rallies held in more than two dozen U.S. cities were organized by Act for America, which claims, it's probably not true, could maybe not true, we don't know, they're just claiming Islamic law is incompatible with Western democracy. Well, God bless Act for America. That's what I say. They have held dozens of locations. They've held rallies speaking out against Sharia law, which is specifically designed to displace America, Americanism, and specifically the Constitution. They don't just claim. It's not Act for America that's claiming anyway. We've heard it from them. He is the professor for Islamic studies at McMaster University in the Canadian city of Hamilton, Ontario. Where they went and dragged this guy from Ontario. Yeah, no wonder. But the article says, even though they quoted somebody with the rally saying, I don't believe Islam can peacefully coexist with the Constitution. This 29-year-old Aaron said, we need unity in this country under no ideology and no banner except the Constitution of the United States of America. Well said. But the article goes on and says, but the overwhelming majority states this as fact. But the overwhelming majority of Muslims don't want to replace U.S. law with Islamic law known as Sharia. That is a lie. Let me read on. And only radical extremist groups would call for that. That's also a lie. Well, unless you call Islam radical extremist. It is a radical extremist group. So this is accordingly, apparently coming from Liaquat Taqim, a professor at Islamic Studies. Okay. Sharia, he said, refers to guidelines or principles. Just guidelines. You know, female genital mutilation, it's, you don't have to do it. It's just a guideline. Beating your wife, it's, you know, it's just guidance. No one says you have to do it. These are guidelines or principles. How Muslims should live. Fiqh refers to jurisprudence or specific laws. The values embedded in Sharia do not change and are shared among Muslims, he said. While fiqh is open to interpretation and change. Oh yeah, it's going to change. Because while they're not as aggressive as they are in some countries, that's going to change. He says the Quran allows slavery, so does the Old Testament. They always do this. They love bringing up slavery. The Quran allows slavery, so does the Old Testament. Oh, hold on a minute. We are not under the Old Testament. We are under the New Testament now. He says that doesn't mean we allow it today. Laws are amenable to change. Yes, they are. And we see the way where Islam is dominating in countries, where it has made a resurgence strong. We've seen how the laws are amenable to change. When you increase in your numbers, that's when the changes come. And that's when all devout Muslims start to show their true colors. The Quran is their New Testament. So it's irrelevant what the Old Testament said or didn't say. Because these people believe what in the Quran, they believe in it today. That is their New Testament. That's the New Testament they're under. Their true intent has been made so blatantly obvious. Here's one example, just one example, and I've listed so many over the last few years. This is from Counter Jihad Report, and I've mentioned this very same situation here. In 2011, a popular imam, Siraj Wahaj, offered Muslims a recommendation saying, don't talk about Sharia law because we're not there yet. That's a direct quote. He didn't argue for an interpretation of Sharia that is permanently compatible with the West. Instead, he advised that Muslims be quiet for now, in accordance with the Muslim Brotherhood's doctrine of gradualism. This came forth a few years ago with these Muslim Brotherhood documents, and their true doctrine and intent was revealed. The trap we fall into is having a premature discussion about Sharia when we are not there yet, he said in a 2011 annual Islamic Circle of North America Muslim American Society convention. He said, Islam is better than democracy. Allah will cause his deen, that's the Islam as a complete way of life, Islam to prevail over every kind of system, and you know what? It will happen, he said. They are making themselves, availing themselves to displacing the Constitution when the time is right, when the culture is right. And now we've got leftists in the streets that will be victims of Islam. They don't even realize it. They want the poison so badly because it tastes so good, not realizing it's going to kill them. They will not have the freedom to march in the streets and chant and wave their signs and spread communism because it will come into conflict with Islam, but they'll fight for it. And anybody that wants to stand against Islam, the spread of Islam in America, they're coming under attack by leftists. Well, there's some people that are standing for the right things. In Florida, Sheriff Wayne Ivey from Brevard County is urging law-abiding citizens to arm up, telling them to get familiar with their firearms and be ready to make terrorists worry about defending their own lives for a change. This is beautiful. Beautiful. I'm going to play the audio for you here in just a minute when we take our break. But here we are, back to the slipstream media. They quote him as saying, this is war. He said so many things that were sensible, reasonable, logical. But they chose to quote, this is war. He did say that. And you know what? We are at war. And the fastest way to lose a war, the fastest way to lose a fight is to not realize you're in one. But they latched onto that quote. And then they say, a Florida sheriff's office posted a controversial message on social media urging citizens to arm themselves in self-defense. Now, citizens in Europe are scrambling to try to find a way to be able to arm themselves with these waves of attacks. And the people are claiming, well, you know, your statistical odds of being in a terrorist attack are so low. And you know what? They're right. But these high-profile smash and stab and bombings are only a fraction of the threat, the overall aggregate threat that they face in Europe. Because people walking down the street are being beaten by Muslim gangs. Women are being raped by Muslim gangs. People cannot even walk out in the street, and definitely not at night, in so many and increasing numbers of places in Europe. But they focus on the high-profile terrorist attacks and say, look at the odds, the statistics. You're totally overreacting. But that's not the only threat they face. They face threats on a daily basis. How girls talking about having to run, boys having to take alternate routes to and from school and running, being chased by Muslims, you say, we're going to get you. It's a problem. And this sheriff, he is dead on, just right. I love his statement. I'm going to let you listen to it. But first, I want to look at these quotes from the anti-gun ignoramuses of the week. So, in response to this Fox News article, here's some of the quotes. If I'm a cop and I walk into a situation where I see multiple individuals firing weapons, I'm shooting at all of them. That's the top quote from Ignoramus of the Week. First of all, these active shooter and terrorist situations, they are over before the cops ever get there. An armed citizen taking down, and there's so many, they ignore the hundreds of cases every year where people used firearms in self-defense, even to stop active shooter situations. But those don't make good news fodder. Another one, the presence of guns in a household does not make the members of that household safer. And in fact, it has the opposite effect. Study after study backs up this idea. And the next one, oh my God, the U.S. just gets more and more pathetic and ridiculous every day. Please keep this up. The rest of the world is dying laughing at how backwards you all are. Or is it y'all? LOL. So, look, if you don't want to be armed, don't. Why are you so concerned about citizens being armed and having the means to defend themselves? Because, hey, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. So, these guys are, they're responding. This, the responses, the comments to the sheriff is 99% positive and supportive. People are all for it. They're eating it up. This is great. It's about time we've got a sheriff talking like this. He says, I'm one of the most politically incorrect sheriffs in the country. You know, that's a sad statement. When you're telling citizens to arm themselves, be prepared, be trained, and be ready to defend life, when that is one of the most extreme sheriffs in the country saying that, that's a sad place for us to be. Well, there's a great place for you to be on June 30th through July 2nd. Up north, near the Canadian border in northeast Washington State, for the God and Country event 2017. The gates are going to open at Friday at noon on Friday. The events will start, well, the vendors will start serving at 5 p.m. And the event's going to kick off at 7 Friday sharp. And that's going to go all through the weekend. Some great, and yes, there is RV parking and dry camping. And they don't have amenities or lodging there at Marble, but there are places in the nearby towns that do. So you can go to marblecountry.com for more information on that. Great speakers, Sunday morning service, Patriot Pastor sermon, roundtable discussions, workshops, fireworks, children's activities. And last year was fun. We had these kids going through a round robin style of activities where they went. They did map reading and land navigation. Then they did first aid. They shot AR-15s. They just did a whole bunch of stuff. It was really fun. Very well attended by very competent adults that are really invested in these kids. And they had a blast. We all had a good time. And finally, if you have not been over to patriotpolls.org, this is your chance to vote for the flag for Liberty State. Once they hit 1,000 votes, the flag and the seal, which has the most votes after 1,000 votes have been cast, that will be the flag that we will all rally under for the 51st state, Liberty State in Eastern Washington. 73% on average of people in the eastern part of Washington State are in favor of Eastern Washington becoming Liberty State. So help them out, support them, and help make your voice be known or heard for the flag and the state seal for Liberty State. All right, now let's hear the sheriff, what he has to say. Wayne Ivey, Brevard County. We just don't have enough sheriffs like him.
I'm Sheriff Wayne Ivey, and you're on scene with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. Like each of you, I am sickened and deeply concerned about the cowardly attacks that are taking place around the world. Attacks where defenseless citizens are being murdered and critically injured. Terrorists and active shooters are using every weapon available to target citizens. Guns, knives, trucks, hammers, and even explosives have all become the weapon of choice for murderers who only have one goal, killing innocent and law-abiding citizens. It seems that almost every day we hear of another attack taking place at a concert, tourist destination, church, business, or anywhere else in the world where they can strike fear in the hearts of citizens. Folks, now more than ever is the time for our citizens to be prepared to serve as the first line of defense, not only for them, but for their families when the attack happens. And let me be perfectly clear, doing nothing or just hoping it won't happen to you is not going to save your life. For those who think that it can't or won't happen here, trust me when I tell you that it's already happening all around us. And the only thing left to question is when and where it will happen again and how many more innocent lives will be lost. As everyone knows, I am probably one of the most politically incorrect sheriffs in the country. And to be honest, I'm good with that. What I'm not good with is sitting back waiting on the emergency to happen, or even worse, sitting back and saying it won't happen here or it won't happen to me. Preparing Americans to protect themselves is a conversation we need to have right now. And giving our citizens the ability to survive a violent attack is not only politically correct, it's the absolute best way we can help protect those we took an oath to protect. Yesterday, I saw a news story where in other parts of the world, they are telling citizens if they are attacked to run, hide, and tell. Really? Coaching citizens that the best way to save their life and the life of a family member, coworker, or friend is to run, hide, and tell? What's next? Ask you to run, hide, and then draw a line in the sand while daring the cold-blooded murderer to cross it? Not here. In my book, What's Next is to fully understand that this is war, and you better be prepared to wage war to protect you, your family, and those around you if attacked. I am firmly convinced that as Americans, we can no longer sit back and pray the fight isn't brought to us. Instead, we have to stand together, shoulder to shoulder, prepared and ready to issue an immediate and directed response when the attack happens. Terrorists and active shooters know that our citizens have been coached to run and hide and then patiently await help. In fact, they count on it so they can strategically target as many citizens as possible. What they don't count on is being attacked themselves, having to become defensive to save their own lives. No matter who you are or what your position is on guns, there's no denying the fact that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun or a knife is an armed and well-prepared citizen or law enforcement officer. There is no doubt that as soon as 911 is called, law enforcement is on the way. However, until they arrive, it's up to you and those with you to neutralize or eliminate the threat. You have to make a decision right now, right this moment, to be prepared to save your life and those you love when the attack happens. Sun Tzu says in The Art of War that every battle is won or lost before it's ever fought. As a society and a community, we can no longer afford to wait for the attack to happen and then develop our survival strategy. We have to fight this battle on the front end by preparing ourselves to fully respond against the attackers when the time comes. As sheriff, I encourage you to be prepared to protect yourself and develop your survival strategy right now. If you have a concealed carry permit, then carry your gun with you at all times possible. It's not doing you any good at the house or in the car when the attack happens. Remember, if you've chosen a gun to protect yourself in the event of a violent attack, then you need to practice on a regular basis. I invite you to take our class, Self-Defense Through Tactical Shooting and Decision Making, where you will receive expert training from our Brevard County Sheriff's Office firearms instructors who teach our deputies how to be tactically prepared for any type of attack. If you don't have a concealed carry permit or are not someone who is comfortable using a firearm to protect yourself, then please consider some type of intermediate weapon, such as a taser or what we now call environmental arming, using items in your immediate surrounding area as weapons, items such as a knife, chair, or a fire extinguisher. I would also encourage you to visit our website and watch the 4 A's of Survival. This 7-minute video discusses the importance of awareness, essentially knowing your surroundings and having a strategy for survival. Arming yourself with anything you can use to protect yourself. Avoidance, running to escape the danger, and attacking the perpetrator to neutralize or eliminate the threat. It's very important to remember that while the terrorist or violent attacker may have a weapon or even the element of surprise, a team of citizens working together to attack the suspect has a much greater chance of survival than allowing the suspect to operate unimpeded. There is no doubt that it takes great courage to attack someone who is trying to kill you or your family. But unfortunately, it may be the only thing that saves your life and the life of those you dearly love. I ask you to remember this if you ever find yourself in the middle of a violent attack. Since the terrorist attacks that occurred on 9/11, we all remember the videos of the Twin Towers and Pentagon where thousands were killed. Out of all the attacks that day, only one failed. The plane that was hijacked by terrorists and then was taken back by brave Americans who worked together as a team to keep the terrorists from reaching their targeted destination. While we will never know how many lives they saved that day, one thing is perfectly clear. Their heroic actions saved countless lives and showed terrorists what happens when Americans fight back. Remember, it takes a community to protect a community, and right now is the time to prepare for the emergency so we can do everything possible to protect ourselves and those around us should that time ever come. Best case scenario, you are mentally and physically prepared, and that day never happens. For more information on our self-defense through tactical shooting class and to watch the 4 A's of survival, please visit our website at BrevardSheriff.com.
We're back with segment two, which is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, Patriot-owned business helping Patriots get relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Check them out today. There's an article here I wanted to cover. I actually had this last week. A new wave of left-wing militants is ready to rumble in Portland and beyond. This is from Mother Jones, a leftist piece of journalism. It's a pattern that has played out across the country since the election. Pro-Trump events from Pikeville, blah, 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 attract. So here's the pro-Trump events attract white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and Klansmen, along with other provocateurs, from the so-called alt-right. And predictably, Antifa counter-protesters mask up to oppose them, often physically. So this article is kind of an expose on some of the different groups. The Bastards Motorcycle Club, they organize an anti-racist LGBT-friendly motorcycle gang. I have visions of a police academy, that the movie, at the bar with all the bikers. So anyway, they're getting ready to rumble. The other group, too, that's a basically communist, revolutionary, violent, militant group called By Any Means Necessary, or BAM, formed in 95 to fight California's rollback of affirmative action. The group's led by a civil rights lawyer and has organized anti-Trump rallies and high school walkouts. But it also supports more aggressive tactics, the article says. Quote, when we say by any means necessary, we mean everything from doing legal cases to organizing more militant actions. The leader, this woman, Driver, says, we are not people who believe in situations where we're under attack that we should turn the other cheek. Interesting, they're the attackers. They're the ones that are chanting violent, hateful, racist rhetoric. And then when people fight back, they go, oh, we're defending ourselves. These people are messed up. And then there's the redneck revolt, largely made up of anarchists and libertarians, in other words, godless people, focused on anti-racist organizing among the white working class, inspired by the Young Patriots, white Appalachian activists who allied with the Black Panthers in the late 1960s. The group now claims chapters in more than 30 regions. It also runs firearms training. You guys catching this? You paying attention? Last December, Kelly's chapter sent members to a gun show where they handed out posters tagged with the slogan, fighting Nazis is an American tradition. Stop the alt-right. Whatever the alt-right is. I guess that's the KKK and the skinheads and neo-Nazis. I think that's what they mean by alt-right. Then there's the Huey Newton Gun Club. After a white Dallas police officer killed an unarmed black man in 2013, community organizers Yafua Balogun and Babu Amawale launched the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, a coalition of black self-defense groups named after the co-founder of the Black Panthers, another militant racist organization. FBI is keeping an eye on those guys. Thank God. But it's interesting that they're saying we're anti-fascist when they are acting fascist themselves. In fact, what this reminds me of, partially the Bolshevik Revolution. If you guys haven't studied that, I'm going to have to share some of the stories from the Bolshevik Revolution with you guys. But this also reminds me of the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung in Germany, the brown shirts. And that term really means storm detachment or stormtroopers. They were known as the stormtroopers. They functioned as the original paramilitary wing of the Nazi party. Now listen to the definition of the brown shirts, the stormtroopers, which helped usher in the Nazi party. This is from Wikipedia. It played a significant role in Adolf Hitler's rise to power in the 1920s and 1930s. Their primary purpose were providing protection for Nazi rallies and assemblies, disrupting the meetings of opposing parties, fighting against the paramilitary units of the opposing parties, and intimidating Slavic and Romani citizens, unionists, and Jews, for instance, during the Nazi boycott of Jewish businesses. So it reminds me of maybe a Christian business owner who refuses to sell flowers to homosexual marriage. These guys might come and start breaking windows and threatening and intimidating, because it's just a matter of time, I feel, before that happens, because we see these guys doing exactly the same thing as the brown shirts, as the stormtroopers under Nazi Germany, with their primary purpose providing protection for Nazi rallies and assemblies, disrupting the meetings of opposing parties, and fighting against the paramilitary units of the opposing parties, and intimidating people, specifically focusing on people of certain ethnic groups. That sounds like these so-called Antifa organizations. There's a flag that they fly, this organization, what is it? It Begins Now, I believe is what it Starts Now. Where did it go? Anyway, they got this red flag with black logo and black lettering. Very communist looking. They got the snake, like the Don't Tread on Me snake, with this black fist, which is the leftist communist symbol, with the snake in the clutches of this fist, and it says, "We will tread," which is interesting because you tread with your foot, not your fist. So it's like already they're inverted. We will tread, and then they grab it and choke it. But we got a little capture of the flag if you guys are interested. The Liberty for All put a text out in a group, and the organizer, Anthony Bosworth, said, "Hey, I'll put $100 up toward anybody who steals one of those Antifa We Will Tread flags." And I said, "You know what? Radio Free Redoubt will double it, $200 if for one of those captured flags. Documented that it has to be captured." Well, that started a frenzy. People started, I'm in for $50. I'm in for $100. Well, now it's up to like, I think $550 bounty on one of those Antifa flags, the We Will Tread flags. If you capture one at one of those rallies, it could be worth $550 paid out in precious metals, gold and silver. So this is your chance. And we'll post this article, or we'll post the link to LFA, Liberty for All, for you to go check this out yourself. It's pretty cool. All right, now there's something I wanted to cover here. From you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks, 4 weeks ago, at the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington, the leftist Inlander showed up and
I don't think they'll ever be allowed on one of their sites again. I think they get it now. But this leftist journalist doing this article, and he actually didn't do a whole lot of he was talked to, and he promised he was going to be fair and just report the truth. Well, we've seen how that's gone over in the past. But it's not just the article. What they're doing is, this is the follow-up campaign. What they're doing is they're taking their leftist listeners and posting their comments in response to that article. So what they're doing is they're letting the leftist liberals snivel in their editorials, and then they're posting those. So they're letting their readership do their dirty work for them. But here's one. I read one last week, but here's another one. Readers respond to the American Redoubt. Now, all this was a Patriot rally. It was a preparedness rally. And, of course, the American Redoubt was brought up. But this is what they're focusing on because they want to attack it, because it's a threat to them. And I can see how it would be. You know, people that want to stand together for freedom. A region which is strengthening by the day, with patriots that are strategically relocating. It's robbing them of their Pollyanna perfect world of, you know, rainbows and lollipops and unicorns. And they feel threatened by these conservative, right-wing, extremist prepper people. So, and then now we've got this major growing movement for the 51st state, Liberty State, which is building momentum. Now, this is really threatening them. So the attacks are going to ratchet up, which is fun. But this article is, we're all in this together. As an independent progressive, I found the Here in the American Redoubt article disturbing. It seems these conservative Christians have decided those of the liberal persuasion are the enemy and unworthy of U.S. citizenship. Of the liberal persuasion. We're talking about communist, leftist, godless, anti-American revolutionaries. He says, the wisdom of our founding fathers. Okay. These redoubters talk about our Constitution and Christianity while ignoring what the first article of the Bill of Rights clearly states about religion. Yeah. That you have the right to your religion unimpeded. That's what it says. They want to divide our state because they don't like the West Side liberals. No. What we don't like is the West Side liberals refusing to live and let live and forcing their leftist ideals on those who have conservative values, who believe in God and believe in the Constitution, and that's unacceptable. Fellow citizens are not the enemy because of political disagreements. False. In almost every case in world history, what made enemies was their political disagreements. Period. So this guy's from Spokane. And so now these conservative Christians have decided that those liberal persuasions are the enemy. Guess what? You are the enemy. Let's look at a Merriam-Webster's definition of enemy. Enemies, plural, one that is antagonistic to another, especially one seeking to injure, overthrow, or confound an opponent. Guess what? We are enemies. Christian, conservative, American patriots are enemies with anti-American, godless, globalist, statist, liberals. Plain and simple, we're enemies. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to love our enemies. And guess what? This guy who wrote this article, I do love him. I hate what he stands for. And that's what Patriot Drum said to that journalist at that expo. He says, look, I love you as a person, but I hate what you stand for. And you're not welcome here because you're a traitor. And look, if an enemy wants to I'll talk to them like a person. I will pray for them. I will help them if they want to repent and turn to the Lord. But I will absolutely oppose their agenda to force a godless system on me and my family and my community. I am not obligated. Loving them does not mean letting them continue unchallenged to spread an agenda which will bring God's judgment down on us, from which they cannot save us from. I am under no obligation to participate in that type of anti-American, godless, destructive agenda. I'm not, and I won't. So, are you the enemy? Yes, you are. And I will oppose you, and I can love you, and I can also stand my ground and refuse to participate in what you are trying to accomplish. Now, before we take a break, I want to share with you another testimonial from a redoubter. And I want you guys to keep these coming in. Please, if you have moved to the American Redoubt or you're about to, well, they're trying to define who you are. You know what? I'll let you define who you are. I want to hear your testimony. Keep it short, 500 words, couple paragraphs. But I want to share this one from you. From, let's see here. How do I want to say? His first name starts with E. So this is what he writes. We are, you know, when I ask, you know, who are the redoubters? Let's hear from you. Our move to the American Redoubt. Who am I? I am an American citizen that just happened to be born in an American territory, Puerto Rico. So my accent is different, and the complexion of my skin is a little bit darker than what some people in the left consider the stereotypical right-wing, gun-toting, Bible-thumper, crazy patriot. I love America's traditional values, and I believe that the Constitution is the law of the land, and it should be followed. After spending 10 years in the Army, most of that time stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, my family and I finally made the move here to the American Redoubt, the Northern Idaho area. We were sick and tired of Western Washington's leftist agenda, gay groups, agendas, and gun control. All my co-workers told me I was crazy for moving my family here. In their minds, the picture of the 80s and 90s Aryan nations and Richard Butler's Yahoos still remains. Of course, I did my homework and research. We did a couple of trips to the area. Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene, Hayden, Athol, Sandpoint, Naples, Bonner's Ferry, you name it. What did I find? Well, let's say I'm still looking for the crazies running around with pointy hats. What I found instead? Nice Christian, polite people that just want to be left alone. I'm pretty sure that there might be a crazy or two, but that still believe and hold on to those Richard Butler values. But if they are, they're keeping it to themselves, and I'm okay with that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We finally made it here, less than a month ago now. This is home now, and it feels great. The other day, on my way back home, I was listening to the local radio on KTW, and all of a sudden, the siren from Radio Free Redoubt's show started playing. It was surreal, the experience. It made me realize this is not on the podcast, on my phone. This is local radio, the real deal. We made it. We really are in the American Redoubt, and I'm ready to fight politically or whatever it takes to keep it the way it is. So thank you very much for that testimony. There's more out there. I want to hear them. Send them in. And others need to hear your story. They need to hear your testimony. So I look forward to getting those from you guys. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us Hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
And this is segment three. We'll run three segments this show. Make this a little bit shorter, start getting stuff wrapped up. But segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, and that's their website, strategiclandscapedesign.com. to keep you safe and help you thrive on your property. So before you commit to purchasing a property, you know one of the services they have. They'll walk the land with you to gain a firsthand knowledge of the opportunities and the constraints that the property offers. They'll provide you a professional assessment of its potential to meet your goals. Lots of stuff involved there. Go check them out, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Patriot-owned business there as well. Now, speaking of the American Redoubt, and this kind of falls right in line here, where I got the PDF of this from Ferry County, and this was actually also in Lincoln County, Washington. And what is this called? The Code of the West. Now, this is an official document at the county level in several counties, apparently. Specifically, this one's from Ferry County, very rural county in Northeast Washington. So they have this Code of the West that they hand out to cities, to citizens, endorsed by the Board of County of Commissioners. And this is official. They got the stamp on it. Adopting Ferry County Code of the West. Whereas the Ferry County Board of Commissioners wishing to take a proactive stance and advise current and prospective rural residents of the conditions and circumstances generally associated with rural living that they may not have considered prior to making their decision to locate their homes and families to rural Ferry County. And whereas, and this goes on, this is great. Okay, so some of the highlights I keyed in here. I want to read some of these to you guys. People that are considering moving to rural areas. There's stuff like, you know, hey, there's county services are limited. You know, carry a chainsaw with you in case there's a tree across the road. You're not going to get that in California. You better not dare cut a tree on your own in California without an environmental impact study, certification. You've got to have, I mean, realize how much is involved. Plus, you got to have a hard hat, reflective vest, steel-toed boots, safety glasses, a permit, you know, a note from your mother. Okay. Pre-purchase, where are we at here? Access. The fact that you can drive to your property does not necessarily guarantee that you, your guests, and emergency service vehicles can achieve the same level of access at all times. Please consider the following. Emergency response times, sheriff, fire suppression, medical care, etc., cannot be guaranteed. Under extreme conditions, you may find that emergency response is extremely slow and expensive. Now, these people that are saying, why do you got to have guns? Having guns in your house is just going to lead to, you know, people in your house getting hurt. Well, here they're saying, look, the sheriff's department, fire department, they might not be able to get to you. You're on your own. Be prepared to handle your own affairs if we can't get there. Unpaved roads generate dust. When traffic levels reach certain levels, it may be necessary to treat your road with dust control material. Dust is a fact of life for most rural residents. Ferry County does not apply dust control agents except under specific circumstances. If your road is unpaved, it is highly unlikely that Ferry County will pave it in the foreseeable future. Primitive roads. This is the section 1, subsection 17. Primitive roads. Many roads in Ferry County have been classified as primitive. This classification removes any requirements for design, signing, and maintenance for the road that is designated and marked as a primitive road. What this means is that using a primitive road is done at your own risk with no recourse to the county. Water, sewer, electric, telephone, and other services may be unavailable or may not operate at urban standards. Hear that, city slickers? Repairs often take much longer than in towns and cities. Please review your options from... telephone communications can be a problem, especially in the canyon areas of Ferry County. Even cellular phones will not work in all areas. By the way, CB and ham radio is real big up there. They got repeaters. Power outages can occur in outlying areas with more frequency than in more developed areas. A loss of electric power can also interrupt your supply of water from a well. You may lose food in freezers and refrigerators, and power outages can cause problems with computers as well. It is important to be able to survive for up to a week in severe cold with no utilities if you live in the country. North-facing slopes or canyons rarely see direct sunlight in the winter. There is a possibility that snow will accumulate and not melt throughout the winter. That's a fact. Oh, where is this? Traffic accidents, rural developments encroach on the traditional habitat of coyotes, bobcats, cougars, rattlesnakes, ground squirrels, bears, and other animals that can be dangerous, and you need to know how to deal with them. In general, it's best to enjoy wildlife from a distance. And so, let's see. Carry a gun wherever you go. You never know. You might have a wild squirrel come out jumping out at you. So, you also need to know, if you're going to live in the country, dairy operators, agriculture is huge in Ferry County. So they have this in their guide. Dairy operators sometimes milk without stopping, and hay is often swathed or baled at night. It is possible that adjoining agriculture uses can disturb your peace and quiet. Irrigation pumps and sprinklers may be noisy. Also, vehicles such as four-wheelers, motorcycles, and snowmobiles may be used on farms to maintain fences and locate livestock. Dogs may bark at night, providing a useful function as predator control. This is great coming from a county government. You just won't see this in King County, Seattle. Land preparations and other operations can cause dust, especially during windy and dry weather. Animals and their manure can cause objectionable odors. What else can we say? I just read just a few of those highlights that jumped out at me. I want to share those with you. Even though you pay property taxes to the county, the amount of tax collected does not cover the cost of the services provided to rural residents. In general, those living in the cities subsidize the lifestyle of those who live in the country by making up the shortfall between the cost of services and the revenues received from rural dwellers. This information is by no means exhaustive. There are other issues that you may encounter that we have overlooked, so we encourage you to be vigilant in your duties to explore and examine those things that could cause your move to be less than you expect. They've had some disappointed people moving from cities to these rural counties. So finally, it says, we have offered these comments in the sincere hope that it can help you enjoy your decision to reside in the country. It's not our intent to dissuade you, only inform you. But this is a great guide. It's a PDF, like 12 pages. So, I mean, I read you the equivalent of like one page. Now, in the American Redoubt, in many places, we actually have all the modern conveniences that you'd find pretty much anywhere else. Restaurants and nightlife and internet. We don't have covered wagons and all of our roads aren't made of dirt. But in some of the outlying areas where many of you hope to move to, you move to from a subdivision in California or the Seattle area or the, somewhere along the I-25 corridor in Colorado, you might be in for a shock. You have that dreamy postcard vision of this meadowy, beautiful little log cabin type home that you're going to have when you get up here. But that property that you got so cheap, there's probably a reason why that property was so cheap. So look ahead. Do your research. I've had some people actually move to the American Redoubt that got a little disappointed because they realized how remote they were, and they were used to quick access to conveniences that come with built-up areas, which do exist in much of the American Redoubt. But you can also go remote. Some things that you might want to just consider. Anyway, you guys have a blessed week. Thank you guys for tuning in. There's more, but we'll cover it next Saturday and next Sunday. In the meantime, keep training and keep the faith. And thank you guys for your continued support. And if this is a blessing to you, then we ask for your support in prayers. And we also can use financial contributions because we are growing. And with that, the costs are growing as well. So thank you guys for considering that. That's all I got. You have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.